My question is, if God is good, why is there so much suffering? So I want to start reading. I want to start by reading this article that I found that kind of startled me. But it goes like this. It says, the British writer, actor, and comedian Stephen Fry is featured in a YouTube video which has gone viral. Over 5 million views as of this moment. As you may know, Fry is like his British counterparts, Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins, a fairly ferocious atheist who has made a name for himself in recent years as a very public debunker of all things religious. In the video in question, he articulates precisely what he would say to God if, upon arriving at the pearly gates, he discovered that he was mistaken in his atheism. Fry says that he would ask God why he made a universe in which children get bone cancer, a universe in which human beings suffer horrifically and without justification. If such a monstrous, self-absorbed, and stupid God exists, Fry insists, he would decidedly not want to spend eternity with him. And, of course, the next, as you go into the window or whatever where it's got the guy's name, of course, the very next article about him said Stephen Fry and boy toy husband decide to work through their honeymoon. So right away I said, yep, that's just an excuse of somebody that is in sin, that wants to continue sinning. And so that's like excuse number 5 or something. And it's been, that idea has been presented in different forms. You know, the question, if God is loving, why is there suffering, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But as I was reading more about it, I read a couple of books and thinking about it and looking through the scriptures, the question is often asked in sincerity, I believe. It's asked by Christians. Well, before that, I was thinking, this question is really a no-brainer. I like that no-brainer because for me, if I can figure it out, it's a no-brainer. And I say to myself, the scriptures are very evident and very clear about why there is suffering. But then I thought, a Christian that is actually suffering, it's not so plain. And so, and also I thought, for a young Christian, it can be something that you, it could be a question that you really want to get a handle on. I was reading that Ted Turner was very involved in the church growing up, and his sister, I think her name was Anne Marie, passed away. And he instantly turned, he stopped going to church and his heart was set against God. Charles Darwin, he also was very involved in the church, I read. And I think it was his daughter died, who he was very close to. And that turned him from going to church. And I thought about our young ones here, young men, young ladies. I mean, it's very possible that you could fall in love with somebody and they were taken from you. And if you weren't grounded, if you didn't have root, you could easily fall away and maybe forever. So it's really a serious question. And so I guess even, you know, I thought, well, okay, so God, to the atheist, okay, so God took away suffering. Would you follow Jesus? Would you obey Jesus? Would you turn to God? But my conclusion is the question should be approached, no matter who asks it, with sincerity and love. And so, as I read, as I read the Bible, I saw three sources of suffering. Three, and I'm not talking about what particularly causes suffering, more than who causes suffering. So first of all, real quick, it's something that's pretty simple, I think. Why do we suffer? What is the main cause of suffering? And then we'll get to who I read about that basically is mainly responsible for suffering. But why do we suffer? What is the main reason, the first thing that comes to your mind that you would try to show somebody that asked that question? David?
Sin.
Okay, that's basically what I got. Where did sin enter the picture? At the beginning. What happened? That's where the suffering started. That's where man, where death came into the picture. And that's why we die. And the scriptures talk about empty ways handed down to us by our forefathers and our own sin. So that's basically, in my mind, because of what I read in the scriptures, the origin of suffering. If there was no sin, we wouldn't be suffering. I was thinking Adam and Eve. They disobeyed, and when we disobey, we suffer. God didn't tell us anything to do that wasn't good for us. That he didn't know that if we did the opposite, we would suffer. But first, so I saw three, I don't know how to word it, so luckily I'm not teaching English, but three, let's say, these are what I saw, and then we'll talk about each one of them. But the first one, they're not in order, but one place I saw, one verse, Satan. Satan causes suffering, definitely. Can we give some examples of either, well, not either, but can we give some biblical examples of Satan causing suffering?
Job.
Okay. I was reading Job, and I read about the big wind that knocked the house down that his children were in. Well, so Satan has great power, and he causes suffering. What's some other people in the Bible you think suffered that Satan? Yep, he didn't. Of course, Jesus stand. He stood firm. And how did he stand firm? Right, he used the word of God. But he certainly did try to cause him to suffer. I saw in Luke 13:16 that Jesus healed a woman that was bound by Satan. And I don't know, I read about Paul who received a messenger of a thorn in his side, a messenger of Satan. I think about Jesus did suffer because of Satan, because he basically, Satan tempted Adam and Eve, and Jesus paid the price for that, for us. And so Satan basically did, I think, cause Jesus a lot of suffering. Judas, I have that. Yep, Judas, John 13:27. He takes away Mark 4:15. He takes away the word from our hearts, which no word, no direction, suffering, sin, suffering. He prowls around like a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8, waiting to devour somebody. Destroy. That does not sound like it lacks suffering. Job had the boils. So we could see, basically, it's very clear that Satan causes suffering. The next thing I saw, how does man cause suffering? So, how does man cause suffering? John?
By performing evil.
Okay. And we're going to, performing evil. I saw this list this guy wrote. Death, depression, murders, ugly divorce, wars, rape, I was thinking of bullies at school, people stealing, lying, cheating, all kinds of, well, just to name a few things that man does that causes suffering. Of course, through one man, sin entered the world, which we already said, and death through sin. So that's a no-brainer. And I was thinking, are we causing any suffering? What are some things that might cause suffering that we might not consider a big sin? And I was thinking about man. I was thinking about, how about attitudes? Do we have attitudes toward our children or toward our spouses or toward our brothers and sisters that cause them to hurt and cause them to suffer because of the pain? Do we withhold our love from them because we're upset, we've felt slighted or whatever? I know I've done that, both things mentioned. How about, I was thinking, just not doing what we know is right to do for our brothers or sisters. So man just is quite devastating in his cause of suffering. Rose.
There's suffering that, you know, is a result of man, but I don't necessarily think that it was intentional. Like things that they've done in the environment, diseases that have come about because, you know, they can't know not to do certain things.
And, yep. Right.
There's all kinds of things that people ruining the soil. Yeah. You know, that it may not be intended, but still it's done by man, so it is a man-caused situation.
No, you're right, exactly. Sometimes I'm in the bathroom and the water's running like 10 minutes and I'm brushing my teeth or something. I think that's just minuscule, but I'm thinking, you guys are suffering because you're paying the water bill, right? But like you said, it's a could cause a shortage of water. It's just our own thoughtfulness. That was a yes. Cyprus. You got it, and gladly. We love your family. We love you, Cyprus. Somebody over here had their hand, right? Was it? You always raise your hand, and I always forget to call on you, so I better get that right here. Yep. That's right. Anybody else? Paul?
I was just thinking that passage where it says, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the boast of the pride of life are out of the body. And all of those cause pain.
Yep. Exactly. So we have Satan, man, and then we have natural things that happen naturally, that because this earth is cursed and it's not what it's supposed to be. But then the last thing I saw was God. God causes suffering. And at first glance, that might seem like, oh my. But what are some ways that God could cause suffering? And I'm not talking about the fact that God uses suffering, because God uses both of these that we'll talk about in a second. But how does God cause suffering? Does he cause suffering? Is that appropriate? April. Yeah, and that's sort of the way I would say that I thought about it. But a closer inspection, I see that God actually does cause suffering, and there's one specific way that He does it. And it talks about that in Romans 2, 5 and 8, and if you want to be, I guess you could be technically correct. He causes suffering because we cause him to cause suffering, but God does cause suffering. It's John.
There is some suffering that God has designed for us to learn by. And that suffering would be like if you touch something hot, you learn not to touch it.
Yeah, good point.
But the other thing is death. And I believe that the more importantly, separation God wants us to understand is something to worry about, is something to suffer through. I believe that God makes separation painful on purpose because He wants us to be united with Him.
Exactly. That's a good point. And I actually had two questions. In order to answer that first question, I had two questions that I believe will answer that first question. That's the second question that we're going to talk about real quick, is why does God allow suffering? And that's one of the reasons. But I just looked, Cyprus.
He's just playing.
Okay. For a reason.
Right, not just wrath.
Right, no.
People think of suffering as a wrath, but it's not a wrath.
Right, and that's...
designed as from a loving God.
Right, and you'll see what I was saying after we get to that question, but you're totally right. So, yeah, there's just... and we're not open... sorry. Rose, sorry. I do see a lot of hands, and... forgive me if I don't call on everybody, but time goes by, and at some point I try to go around the room and call on somebody at least once or twice, but then it comes to a point where I do have some information that I wanted to pass on, and so I have to just, I do see you, and then when I ask another question, I get on the list. But Rose, forgive me if I...
that Christ should suffer for our sins. You know, that was a direct, intense type of suffering.
Yeah, I thought about that. I mean, God, this earth is about suffering, but God did not exempt himself from that. And he came down here and led the way and really showed us how to suffer, Jesus. Vanessa? Yeah, but you had your hand up before. Oh, okay. Muriel.
I think Rose's example is a good way to be able to see God's total plan, that He plans to resolve all this. There is such a thing as heaven, you know?
Yeah, and that's coming. Certainly, because we have hope and we have benefits, we have promises if we're in Christ. In the world, whether you're in Christ or not, you're still going to suffer. The difference is we have hope, and those not in Christ don't. So you're right. So there, like I said, and like Paul was saying, it might not be something that you address right away with a non-believer, but there's just countless examples in the Old Testament of God's wrath against disobedience. And if you want to see them, I have them. So I can give them to you. So the second question, why does God allow us to suffer? And I think John touched on, I know you, that's the way I took it, what you were saying, was he designed suffering, but he did it for a reason. He allows it, and it's good for us. I don't think, especially in 25 minutes or 20 minutes, that this could be, or even in a lifetime, that this question could be answered 100% sufficiently, because it seems like there's definitely, God has given us free will. He's given us freedom. I like the definition of this freedom. It's not an unlimited options, but an unfettered choice between whatever options there are. As long as the choosing comes from the individual rather than an outside force, the decision is made freely. Free will means the ability to make an unforced decision between two or more options. And he seems to have allowed the consequences of free will bad decisions. And our only hope is to be in Christ and to trust that he will make it to the good and it will end at some point. Because it's just very obvious that many things happen that you say, wow, how could that happen? But he seems to be silent in a sense, compared to when Jesus was here. There seems to be, we have a revelation. It must be enough for us. He must consider that sufficient to get us to finish the race, and he seems to let a lot of things happen. John.
What if some suffering is not meant to be understood, but be just a system where we have to build trust in God? What about all the saints under the altar saying, how long, Lord?
Yep.
How long must we suffer? There's no answer to that question there.
Right.
And so some suffering may be just unanswerable, except for the fact that we need to trust God's design.
Yeah, and Paul was talking about that a couple days ago. I mean, you look at Job, he definitely was questioning his suffering. You know, the writers of the Psalms were questioning suffering and why there seemed to be others without suffering. To wrap this up, I mean, we know God lets us suffer. 2 Peter 3:9 is one of the biggest reasons, I thought. How about 2 Corinthians 4:16-18? And somebody else, Romans 5:3. Thank you. And so I just want to close. And I was thinking originally about asking, well, how would you explain that God is good in your own words and then showing through the scriptures that God is good? Because I looked at the question and I said, if God is good. And really, that's in April, and then I'll close.
Well, I was just thinking, it's hard to explain to somebody if they don't have And I don't know how you can reconcile that with someone who can't think or understand spiritual concepts.
Yeah, I would say it definitely has to be a person that is open to hear. Like Paul said, I was thinking the same thing. First of all, you have to, if God is good. Well, God is good. And that really is a conclusion of the matter to me and my main point, that if God is good, God is good. And that's why he allows suffering. He allows suffering because he wants all men saved and because he uses that suffering for our faith. I was thinking about, I think it's 2 Peter, our faith is being refined. And he's using that. And he wants us to enter his kingdom with a pure, wonderful faith. So he uses that suffering because he's all wise. And he knows everything, even though we don't feel like that when we're going through the suffering. And like I said, like I heard, Jesus suffered big time. God knows what it means to suffer. What would God have to do to take away the suffering? Okay, so you want God to take away suffering. What is he going to have to do? He's going to have to take everybody out of the world, and he is going to do that. That will happen in Revelations 21, 27 and 21:8. It talks about 21:8 and 21:27. It talks about what God's going to do. And bottom line, this isn't heaven. And we actually deserve suffering. We deserve hell. We were walking dead. I don't care if you were think you were born a Christian. We were all saved from God's wrath. We were all walking dead. And some of us are still walking dead. And we deserve to suffer. And if you think suffering is bad now, make the wrong choice and you'll really see what suffering is. If you're on this earth, you're going to suffer. And so suffer in Christ where you have joy that surpasses knowledge at times. Like I said, there isn't any promises for the unsaved. There is no benefits.